This is CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Future CEOs. What a great conversation with Tumisha Marshall. Am I allowed to say the one and only Tumisha?
The one and only, correct.
Because he really is such a dynamic figure, and we're so grateful that we were able to learn a little bit about his background and his entrepreneurial journey.
He got deep there. We love that.
He did. He got vulnerable. And that's an important thing for all entrepreneurs, I think, to understand, is that there's a beginning point, and that beginning point is so valuable, but often you have to be vulnerable in order to get there.
And to reach your breakthroughs. Speaking of which.
Dr. John DeMartini, he's a future CEO's favorite. I think we may be his favorite. I don't know.
We'll
have to ask him about that. But he's back in the country. He's doing a number of different discussions, and now there's a breakthrough experience that he's going to be running in the next short while. Let's hand over to him very quickly and just get him to give us an overview of that. But then
our topic for today.
Our topic, exactly. What is it, Phoebe?
Overcoming the fear of public speaking. I think this is one of the most kind of known fears that is common amongst every one of us, no matter what career that you're in. And I think there are tools and skills to which to improve the fear of public speaking. But I think Dr. DeMartini will tell us, you know, how we can overcome our fears and just own our space and own those audiences as well.
Yeah, just very, very quickly, remember, if you're a future CEO and you're an up-and-coming, you're a dynamic individual, well, you're going to have to stand up in front of a group of individuals.
Correct.
Or a person to pitch, to share, to give a talk, to be considered a thought leader or something. There's something in there for your brand, and so this conversation is vital for all of you. Anyway, without further ado, let's go to the master himself. Dr. DeMartini, welcome back into the Future CEOs and Cliff Central Studio.
Thank you. Appreciate to have me.
We love having you here. You know this.
Well, I look forward to it.
But this breakthrough experience, just quickly give us an overview of what that is. So you've done some public events, but then there's this.
Well, the breakthrough experience is one of my signature programs. I've done it 1,000. This weekend will be 1,074 times.
Oh, wow. Sure. Wow. Congratulations.
So I've been doing it a bit. And it's about helping people break through whatever they perceive in their way and to turn it into on the way and to show them how to go out and do something extraordinary with their life. And regardless of what it is, whether it be in business and doing something extraordinary and breaking through plateaus in business and taking it to levels, or economics or in their relationship. It really, whatever it is that they're coming to the table with that they want to do, I'm there to help them break through. So it's 24 hours together. We're working.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
We're in a workshop, breaking through whatever's in the way.
I can imagine that there are certain obstacles and emotional boundaries that you're going to have to encounter along the road, I'm not really explaining myself very clearly here, but they're going to be intellectual issues, they're going to be business issues, they're going to be emotional issues, and that we can really bring back to our conversation today, which is this idea of standing in front of a group of people or sitting behind a mic where people are nervous and concerned. You speak all the time around the world. What are your insights and tips around this particular subject?
Do you still get nervous? I think that's a great question.
No, I don't have a fear of public speaking. I have a fear of not public speaking.
Oh, love it.
Very nice.
More of that today. Because I do between 300 and 350,
correct,
sometimes over 400 speeches in a year.
Correct.
And I've been now speaking now 43 years. I have broken that down and found out what is the fear of public speaking really about. And so if you want, I'll share what that is.
Please do.
We'd love that.
Because I've helped a lot of people break through that, and it's not that difficult, really. Whenever we stand in front of a group of people, we don't have the fear of speaking. We speak all the time. We speak to our loved ones. We speak to people all the time. So there's no fear of speaking. It's the fear of speaking in front of somebody that we perceive have more intelligence than us, more success than us, more wealth than us, a better relationship than us, more social influence than us, a better health or beauty than us, or somehow more in spiritually aware than us. The moment we compare ourselves to somebody in our audience, one or many people, and perceive that they have something we don't, and we're too humble to admit what we see in them is inside us, we will automatically introvert because of that comparison, and think about ourselves instead of our mission of what we want to share with our message. If we focus on our mission and message of our speech and not focus on ourselves, we don't have that fear. And that fear is because of comparison. So what I do is I have people that have a fear of speaking in front of people. I have them look out at the audience with anxiety, and I have them look and find out who it is that they're perceiving as more intelligent or more successful. We itemize them. And
you
then
mean
I,
actually point them out and say, that person.
Yeah, because if they're in front of, I have them imagine that they're in front of a kindergarten class.
Mm. Exactly. Mm.
And they don't have a fear. First grade, no fear. Second grade, I go up the scale until they hit a fear.
Mm.
And we find out what it is about somebody in the audience that they perceive has something they don't. Most of it is the fear of not being as intelligent as the person that they're speaking in front of about the topic.
Mm.
That's most of it. But it could be that somebody is more successful. So if I go in there and I ask this simple question to the person who's having this fear, what exactly is specifically what they have that you think you don't have? We itemize it, and then we go, so where and when are you demonstrating that behavior, that trait, that action, or that inaction in your life, and have them keep answering that question until they discover that they have it to the same degree. Immediately, they have no fear of speaking.
So have you ever experienced this? You're an actress.
Yeah.
You're in front of a camera, but it's a whole different ball game, potentially being in front of a group of people where you're seeing them visually and then you can compare. I'm just wondering.
That's a great question, because you know what, Dr. DeMartini, I'm just trying to think. I do a lot of public speaking as well, and I'm trying to actually just gauge out of those examples, you know, the success, the health, the beauty, the spiritual that you named that would make me feel inferior. I think mostly it's the intelligence, actually.
Most of the time, they perceive it, particularly in their field. In other words, if somebody's speaking on entrepreneurship, and they're 40 years old and they've had a company for 12 years, and they have a successful company, and they're speaking to startups that have never even gone out and started a business, they're just their new businesses, they have no problem speaking. But if they're now speaking in front of an audience of 250 of the largest corporations in the world, and those are seasoned veterans in the fields of entrepreneurship, now they'll have an anxiety. I had a famous singer that I consulted with who had a fear of going and getting a Hall of Fame award.
Wow.
In London. And this person sings. They're professional singers. They've never really had a fear, major fear of singing. They love singing.
Yeah, tens and hundreds of thousands.
But now there's 1,000 people in a black tie event of the greatest singers in history. And they're having to perform in front of them.
But hold on.
Major fear all of a sudden.
You've been doing this for a long time. You started somewhere. And really, the clients that you were talking to right in the beginning of your career were people that you may have perceived or seen as being above you in certain areas. How did you deal with it when you were younger?
Well, that brings up a very funny one. Oh, I'd like to share this. It's a really funny one. I was 27. And I was asked to speak to the leading leaders of all of the oil industry in Houston, Texas.
Wow.
So this is about 75 seasoned oil executives.
Oh, my
goodness. All 70s and up.
Mm.
So these are 70 and 80-year-olds that have Humble Oil, which turned into Exxon, and Texaco, and all these companies, the heads of these companies. And I was literally anxious. I mean, I was in fear because my topic, success. I was 27 years old. I just started my business.
Mm.
They were running major corporations with thousands of employees or worldwide things. And I was sitting there going, what am I going to say that's going to be impressive to these old farts?
Mm.
So I remember walking in and seeing them in the room and kind of going, okay, this ought to be interesting. They did not look like they were just there to have fun. They were kind of, you know,
stayed look.
Yeah, it's like the mafia, and all of a sudden, I got in there, and this incredible creative idea popped in my head, and I realized that most people have a fear of being confronted publicly, and when they're put on the spot, they're in front of their peers. So each of these executives are in front of their own executives, people that they also have respect for. So I went in there, and instead of speaking, I asked questions.
Beautiful.
And I said this. I said, If you're green, you're growing. As soon as you ripen, you're rotten. If you're not expanding yourself and continuing to growing, you're stagnant. So I said, so if you're not going after new challenges and tackling new things that stretch you, you're just withering on the vine. So I turned to him and gave him the microphone. I said, so what is your greatest challenge and fear you're facing today as a former CEO of the biggest company in America?
Mm.
And they're having to speak up in front of their peers.
Mm.
So now I've got them and I'm asking the questions. So I went through and asked them questions and put them all on the spot and made them have the fear of public speaking in front of me.
Well done.
I didn't.
Champion.
That popped in my head and I did not have that planned. It just happened at that spot. They loved me. They thought I was a fantastic speaker. I never spoke.
Mm. I like that. So basically, in a nutshell, you're telling us that we have to see ourselves as equals.
As long as we too humble to admit what we see in them is inside us, we will inject their values into our life. We'll compare ourselves to them. We'll get focused on our own weaknesses instead of focusing on our mission and message. And we will distract ourselves from having fluency and congruency in our speech.
So there's a difference from what I hear you saying and what Kluby has just said, which is this idea of seeing yourself as an equal versus seeing that the perception of what you're seeing in front of you or feeling is actually within you. So you have to find peace there. But it's not necessarily about seeing yourself as equal.
No, it is. You're mentioning it right on the spot.
Mm.
When you have equanimity within yourself,
okay,
you're authentic.
Very nice.
When you're authentic and your heart is open and you're sharing your message from your heart, you never have a problem speaking.
Mm. Mm.
It's when you're trying to put on an air that is above that, or you're comparing yourself and minimizing yourself to somebody, that's when you're not yourself.
Mm.
That's when you're having to think instead of just share.
Mm. Very nice.
That's so powerful.
We've gone deep very, very quickly here. Maybe we can just make it a little bit lighter for a moment. Are there some
deep with Di Martini?
Yeah, it just happens.
Yeah.
There are going to be some things that are just givens when you're a speaker. What are some of those? The way you dress, the way you walk, the way you talk. Give us a couple of those things that you've learned as well, please.
Well, if you're going to speak, whatever the duration is, if you have four times the amount of material ready, you won't hem and haw.
Nice.
So if you have a half-hour speech, have 2 hours of material ready at the tip of your tongue.
Mm. Very nice.
And that's one. Don't accept a speech you don't feel competent.
Correct.
To go and do. Don't be somebody you're not.
Yeah, the authenticity thing.
Start with what you know. Absolutely. And let what you know grow in the speaking career.
Mm. Okay, very nice.
And do your homework. The audience will respect you if you do, and you'll respect yourself.
Correct.
But at the same time, research. You have the responsibility. I research every day.
Mm.
Yes. I read every day. And I write every day. So I'm organizing knowledge every day. I have the responsibility of researching and writing and gathering material more than anybody who's in that audience.
Yes.
So as long as you're doing what you're here for, and you have material more than you're here to speak,
okay,
and you're caring about your message more so than yourself, that doesn't mean minimize yourself. Just don't focus on you. Focus on the message.
Okay.
You're focusing on the person you're trying to make a difference in. If you're caring about the person and attempting to communicate and help them fulfill their need, and you own the traits of the greats. What I do is an exercise.
Own the traits of the greats.
Hmm.
I find the most powerful people on the planet in each of the seven primary areas of life. And I have my clients find out what it is that they look up to and admire about them, and then have them go deep inside and find out where and when they demonstrate those traits until they're equal quantitatively and qualitatively.
Hmm.
The moment they do, there's equanimity inside them, an equity between them and the person that might be in the audience, and they're prepared for anybody. And
I'm just nodding here. On radio, you don't just nod, but I'm just nodding. That's fantastic. Thank you.
I learned a long time ago. I'm sort of a polymath. I've studied many fields, and so that gives me the opportunity to speak in many different genres and different experiences.
Mm.
In the process of doing that, if you can't fake it, it's not wise to. If you have something to say, you say it. If you don't know, say, I don't know that.
Mm.
But I'm going to find out. Thank you for asking the question. So don't try to put on an act. If you don't know it, just don't know it. Just admit it and do it. You never have an audience you're not ready for. That's been a
What do you mean by that, Dr. D?
As long as you're able to say, I don't know, there's no audience you're not prepared for.
I like that. I like that a lot.
So you don't have to worry about it. It's I learned, I learned by a little message from a great speaker one time. It says, if you you learn to play the flute by playing the flute. Yeah. You learn speaking by speaking.
Mm. Correct.
So if you go out and speak, you'll speak. But the audience, it's amazing. If I'm researching something and it's just something really inspiring to me, and I want to share that.
Mm.
I immediately get an audience that asks a question, so it comes out.
Mm.
Whatever I'm working on is what the audience shows up. And it's really, it's almost like there's a cosmic,
absolutely,
cosmic connection between who you speak to and what you're willing to say.
Mm.
So I don't really have an anxiety about speaking, because I have no, if you can laugh at yourself for anything you do that's ridiculous, then you have some great time up there.
Mm.
You don't. If you take yourself serious and you're having a false expectation on yourself to be something greater than who you are, you're setting yourself up for anxiety.
Mm.
But if you're just being yourself and sharing what you know and being humble about what it is you know, you have a great time.
I think of the beginnings of this particular show. I mean, it was new for, or certainly Cliff Central anyway. It was a new experience for you. It was a new experience for me. And I think maybe we did exactly this. We took ourselves a little bit too seriously. We were comparing ourselves to the wrong people, or not building equity in the right kind of way. A thought or two on the beginnings? Our beginnings?
I remember that walking down the stairs after a great, phenomenal guest, and me saying to you that I don't know what the hell we're just doing, but all I know is that I'm having fun. And I think that our guests just read that and feel that. And that is the basis of always being applauded and complimented, because we're so real about our show and not trying to be something that we're not.
Yeah,
so
and making mistakes on air. I mean, we're happy to do it.
Well, I'm a firm believer that there really aren't any mistakes in it. Mm. There. If we're cocky, we do things to
Correct.
Make sure we're humbled, so we become authentic.
Mm.
It's a training. It's a feedback system of our own psyche to guide us to be most authentic. I had a very interesting situation. About 1983, I was asked to speak in front of about 5,000 or 6,000 people at Madison Square Garden.
Mm.
And I looked out at that audience, and it was a good-sized audience. And it was one of the bigger ones I'd spoken to. And there's a guy in front of me who was really anxious. This was his ultimate. This is like his biggest dream in his life, to the idea that he's doing this.
Mm.
And because of it, he had exaggerated the significance of
Correct.
It. And so he was anxious. And when he got up there, because of that, he was focused on himself. And he didn't do his greatest job. He really, truly had a lot of knowledge. He really had something to say. But he was too focused on himself to deliver it. In my own case, I was not seeing this as the end all. I was seeing this as a stepping stone towards what I dreamed, to travel the world and to share whatever I discovered.
Nice.
And because I saw it as a stepping stone and not the ultimate, my perception of it was, I will learn, no matter what happens, I will learn from feedback, and I'll make notes of what I can do to refine it for the next one. So as long as you see each speech as on the way, not as the ultimate way, you do amazing things.
You know what I love about this discussion, Thuby, is the fact that we're not talking about how to dress or how to stand in front of an audience. We're talking about the real, real stuff here. And I, of course, I reflect on some of the things that again, we do. And I can't help but measure and say, how can we do it better? And that's what you're saying here. How can we do it better? Invite that feedback.
Yeah.
How did you get feedback in the beginning, though? So do you just walk up to someone, or is it about measuring the energy in the room? Or how did you do it?
Well, sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I just measured it by their response. Mm. I didn't get any formal feedback.
Mm.
And other times I would get comment sheets. I'd ask them for comment sheets. What can I do? What would be your suggestion in the future? What can I do? Etc. And then I realized that there was a pair of opposite opinions constantly coming at me with all kinds of things, some of which you couldn't do both of them. Okay. they'd contradict each.
Correct.
And then one time I had this really funny opportunity. It was a Toastmasters. I had a clinic, and we had a 3,000-square-foot space that I would lecture in. And they would use, on the days I wasn't lecturing, which is about one day a week, I rented out to Toastmasters. And so Toastmasters had a book on kind of the rules of public speaking.
Yeah.
And they were very rule-oriented.
Of course.
And it was a lot more rigid than I was used to. I would probably fail the class because I broke a lot of the rules. So for fun, I was at that time speaking about 200 times a year. And so I figured, what the heck? I'm going to take the rules and I'm going to break every one of them up on stage just to see what happens.
Okay.
For fun.
Yeah, fantastic.
So I forgot. I unzipped my zipper.
Oh, you mean on stage or did you just walk out?
No, I made sure my zipper was undone. Okay. My hair was a mess. My shirt was untucked.
Yeah.
My coat button was off center.
Yeah.
I basically did everything. I made sure I put some spinach in my teeth. I did everything in the rules. I paced. I stood on the chairs. It was hilarious.
Mm.
I got a standing ovation.
Fantastic.
A standing ovation at
Fantastic.
The end. Not because they were getting up to leave, but because it lightened up the whole group. Because they were all about these rules instead of the message.
Mm.
And I also had one of the guys there. He said, how did you learn how to move your hands so well? Who trained you on moving your hands? I said, it's called genetic Italians. If you speak congruently, your body does the rest.
Correct.
You don't have to worry about
I believe that
any
so
of that
much.
Stuff. So
I
just share so from your heart what the message is and focus on making a difference in people's lives. And amazing skills of speaking come out of you.
Speak congruently. That's the phrase.
And the body follows.
Yeah. The body follows.
That's the message for me.
I get like this.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
The body, yeah. Rooms for improvement for yourself. Do you see yourself improving? I think you've mastered it, but I don't believe that you think you have.
I don't think there's ever an end in
that.
I mean, you learn something each day. So, as I said, as long as you're green, you're growing. As soon as you ripen, you rot.
Mm.
I don't think of myself as a success. That's not the term I ever give myself. I see myself as a man on a mission.
Mm, I like that.
And the mission is something that you have no end to.
Mm.
A goal is in time and space. A mission is through time and space.
I'm going to just write this down very quickly. You continue talking to me.
Podcast.
Yeah.
So you say that we are not here to live in the shadows of everyone. We are here to stand on the shoulders of giants.
Yeah, I think Sir Isaac Newton was the one that kind of phrased it similar to that.
Yeah.
And Einstein, who I was blessed to study a lot of his work, I really believe that that's what they did. They did not live in the shadows of anybody. In fact, Albert Einstein, when he was a teenager, late teen, he had a teacher named Philip Leonard. And Philip Leonard was a Nobel Prize winner and had great knowledge, but came from a German autocratic style of teaching. And Albert Einstein saw some errors in his thinking and confronted it in the class. Now, this is in the very turn of the 1905 era. You did not do that to a teacher in those days.
Mm.
Not in Germany. You were silenced. Well, Einstein said, no, you have an error in your teachings and in your theories and in your mathematics. He stood up to him. Well, Philip Leonard spent the rest of his life trying to destroy Albert Einstein. He was friends with Adolf Hitler and actually attempted to have him assassinated. But Einstein said, my contempt for authority is what made me one. I am not here to subordinate just because somebody said something. I'm here to listen, and if it is wise, I am thankful and I honor them. But if it's not, I have the ability to ask questions and confront. And he says, I'm more interested in it fitting what I know the laws of the universe dictate, more so than opinions.
Mm.
And Richard Feynman, another Nobel Prize winner in quantum electrodynamics, he had the same attitude, the attitude of making sure that you didn't subordinate to outer authority. Public speaking, to master it, is not to be disrespectful to anybody, but to not subordinate to anyone.
Mm, very, very nice. Phoebe, a final 2-second thought from you before we have to part company.
Fluently share your message from within for inspiration. Own your skill sets and your traits.
Very, very nice. And I'm assuming you're quoting Dr. DiMartini.
Of course I am.
Dr. John DiMartini, thank you for being in studio with us again. We're so very grateful, and we're grateful that you've become our genius in residence. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to do it. And I think that topic is something that we can all benefit, because it is one of the great fears that people face.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
As always.
Thank you again. All right, guys, we'll be here same time, same place next week. Also, some more great guests. Maybe not quite in this class, but we will see you then.
Bye for now.
This is CliffCentral.com.